Good morning. Welcome to the November 4th, 2025 regular meeting of the San Francisco County Transportation Authority. I am Commissioner Myrna Melgar, chair of this board. Our vice chair is Danny Sauter. Welcome, colleagues. The clerk today is Amy Sayang, and I would also like to thank Jaime Echeverry at SFGov TV for staffing us during this meeting. Madam Clerk, please call the roll and then make your announcements.
Commissioner Chan. Chan absent. Commissioner Chin? Chin present. Commissioner Dorsey? Dorsey absent. Commissioner Fielder? Fielder present. Commissioner Mahmood? Mahmood present. Commissioner Mandelman? Mandelman absent. Chair Melgar?
Present.
Melgar present. Vice Chair Sauter? Sauter present. Commissioner Cheryl? Cheryl present. Commissioner Walton?
Present.
Walton present. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank
also,
you.
Also, for members of the public interested in participating in this meeting, we welcome your attendance here in person in Legislative Chamber, Room 250 in City Hall. Or you may watch cable channel 26 or 99 or stream the meeting live at sfgovtv.org. For those wishing to make public comment remotely, the best way to do so is by dialing 415-655-0001 and when prompted, entering access code 2661-368-6008 and then press pound and pound again. You will be able to listen to the meeting in real time. When public comment is called for the item you wish to speak on, press star 3 to be added to the queue to speak. Do not press star 3 again or you will be removed from the queue. When the system says your line is unmuted, the live operator will advise that you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When your 2 minutes are up, we will move on to the next caller. Calls will be taken in the order in which they are received. Best practices are to speak slowly, clearly, and turn down the volume of any televisions or radios around you. Public comment for items on this agenda will be taken first from members of the public in attendance in the legislative chamber and then afterwards from the remote speakers queue on the telephone line. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Commissioner Chan is expected to join us. She's running a little bit late, but I would like to excuse Commissioner Dorsey from today's meeting. Before calling the next item, as Chair, I'd like to invoke Rule 3.26 from the Rules of Order to limit total public comment per item to 30 minutes for today's meeting. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to speak on a given item. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 2, approve the minutes of the October 28th, 2025 meeting. This is an action item.
Okay, I don't see anyone on the roster with questions or comments on the meeting, so let's please go to public comment on this item.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wished to speak on item 2, the minutes? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, thank you. A public comment on this item is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion to approve the minutes? Sauter and seconded by Chen. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to approve item 2, Commissioner Chan. That's okay. Chan absent. Commissioner Chin. Chin, aye. Commissioner Fielder. Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman? Mandelman, absent. Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter? Sauter, aye. Commissioner Cheryl?
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 7 ayes. The minutes are approved.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Please call the next item.
Item 3, Community Advisory Committee Report. This is an information item.
Okay, thank you. We have Kat Siegel with us remotely. She is going to make a presentation. Welcome, Ms. Siegel.
Good morning, Chair Melgar, Vice Chair Sauter, and TA commissioners. At our October meeting, the CAC unanimously approved the Prop L fund requests for the cable car barn rehabilitation, school traffic calming program, and Treasure Island YBI road improvements and multi-use path project, as well as the $3.8 million professional services contract with WSP for the same Treasure Island YBI project. We had a lively discussion about the eco-friendly downtown deliveries study final report and ultimately failed to adopt a motion of support for it with 2 no votes and 1 abstention. The main themes of the critical feedback from members were a desire for the report to include a more robust data-driven problem statement and assessment of current conditions, seeking more clarity and focus on freight versus micro delivery services, and a desire for opportunities for CAC input at an earlier stage than the final report. Members were largely supportive of the goals of improving deliveries for small businesses and reducing emissions, but felt that the study seemed more informational rather than a formal plan to take action on. Consistent with that feedback, members were especially supportive of the study's recommendation to execute a data collection effort on deliveries in the city and establish an interagency urban freight team. Finally, we received a welcome update from the project manager of SFMTA's application-based traffic calming program following the program pause in July. Members were appreciative of the update and supportive of the program's progress on funded traffic calming treatments since the last update, and we're all looking forward to SFMTA's presentation to this board in December with updates on the program. Thank you, and I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Siegel. Actually, my question was for staff. I don't see anyone else on the roster about the desire from the Citizens Advisory Committee to be, you know, interacted with earlier in the report. And also, you know, I think that had that been done, maybe we could have incorporated the desires that they expressed.
Yes, we take that feedback to heart and will be incorporating that practice going forward. Yes, to bring an interim milestone in the study process that would allow for us to incorporate CAC feedback.
That's great.
Into our work.
Yeah. Thank you. So I don't see anyone else on the roster. So let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 3, the CAC report? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no public comment.
Thank you. Public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please go to item number 4.
Item 4, allocate $4 million with conditions and appropriate $1 million in Prop L funds for 3 requests. This is an action item. Also, we have received public comment on this item, and it has been posted to our website.
Good morning, Chair Melgar and Commissioners. I'm Erin Slichter, I'm a transportation planner at SFCTA. SFGov, I'm sharing my slides. In this presentation, I'll go over a request to allocate $4 million and appropriate $1 million in Prop L funds for 3 requests. The first request is for $2 million for environmental studies of the Cable Car Barn Rehabilitation Project. The Cable Car Barn was built in 1888 and last rehabilitated in 1984. Rehabilitation and upgrades are needed now to improve working conditions in cable car operations at the facility. The full rehabilitation project will upgrade the facility's electrical system and make other capital improvements, including replacing the roof, cranes, and elevators, adding accessibility improvements, and doing a seismic retrofit. The current cost estimate for the full rehabilitation is $274 million. The $2 million in this request would be used to achieve federal and state environmental clearance for the full scope of the rehabilitation and to set up discrete components to advance as funding becomes available down the road. Work in the environmental phase will include field explorations and geotechnical borings to assess the ground condition. These explorations and measurements will guide recommendations for the design of subsequent project components. SFMTA has identified that the first priority to move forward in the overall rehabilitation is the electrical system upgrade, which is currently running on obsolete infrastructure. We have about $3.5 million in Prop L funds programmed next fiscal year for the design of the electrical system upgrade, and we expect that MTA would request those funds in the spring next year. The full cost of upgrading the electrical system is about $25 million. The next request is for $1 million for construction of Segment 4 of the Yerba Buena Island Multi-Use Pathway, and that's integrated with the Treasure Island Road Improvements Project. The multi-use pathway, or MUP, is a bicycle and pedestrian connection between the east span of the Bay Bridge and the new ferry terminal on Treasure Island. It's being constructed in 4 segments, and this request is for segment 4. The $1 million in this request contributes to an overall $38 million total construction cost made up of federal, state, and local sources. The elements to be constructed with the requested funds include the multi-use path, a transit-only lane to allow buses to bypass traffic and more quickly get onto the Bay Bridge, and other roadway improvements. You'll hear more about the next steps for construction of this project from my colleague Carl Holmes in a later item on the agenda. And the third and final request is for $2 million for design and construction of the fiscal year 26 school traffic calming program. This request would fund walk audits at 10 schools, as well as the planning and implementation of improvements identified through those walk audits. MTA will select the 10 schools after enrollment data becomes available later this year. The MTA uses a combination of criteria to select schools for walk audits, including that school enrollment data, collision history within a quarter mile of the school, and data on how many students live within a walkable radius of the school. Other factors that are considered include the existing infrastructure in the school area, whether schools are in an equity priority community, and MTA also strives to distribute walk audits and improvements among districts. There's more detail in the packet on the school traffic calming program since its first sales tax allocation in 2019, including information on the schools that have done walk audits and the improvements that have been made to each school area. We have several special conditions for the allocation request for the school traffic calming program. The first condition is that SFMTA comply with an enhanced monitoring, reporting, and oversight protocol. And along with that oversight protocol, out of the $2 million in the request, about $1.75 million for construction would be held on reserve to be released by the board once SFMTA has finished the walk audits, identified improvements, and made a presentation to the CAC and board demonstrating progress on delivering on the backlog of improvements from this program. Similar to the application-based traffic calming program, the school traffic calming program has experienced some challenges with timely project implementation, including design changes at the request of the fire department, limited staff resources, and a higher than anticipated bid from a contractor that impacted delivery of the fiscal year 22 cycle. Given these challenges and also the number of open grants that we have to the school traffic calming program, we're instituting this enhanced oversight protocol as a condition of allocation to ensure that work is completed in a timely manner and that MTA has secured the resources necessary to deliver on improvements that come out of the walk audits. The protocol is quite similar to the one that was instituted over the summer for application-based traffic calming, and it involves monthly meetings between TA and MTA staff to check in about project delivery. There are more details on the oversight protocol in the packet for this item. With that, I'll conclude my presentation, and myself and project managers can answer any questions.
Thank you so much. I don't see anyone else on the roster, so I will just make a couple comments that the last request, the one about the school walk audits and the enhanced monitoring that you've implemented is all good. I'm really frustrated by all of it. I think one of the single most effective things that we can do to support families, take the bus to school, the bus that we have now made free for kids, is this feeling of safety as they are crossing the street to get into their schools and to support the school communities in being able to handle vehicle traffic around the school. So we did a walk out for Alice Fong Yu, Jefferson Elementary School, just down the street in my district, desperately needs support. It really is frustrating to me that we have a backlog and that we are not doing, you know, what we need to do to, you know, make it happen, because it meets multiple goals, right? It meets the goals of supporting families, of increasing muni ridership, which we need to do. Like, all of these things go together. So I'm glad that you're implementing enhanced monitoring, and I'm wondering if part of that is to come back to the board with regular updates, you know, as this progresses. Because, you know, it is the same issue that we have had with neighborhood transit improvements. And, you know, that I know it's a separate thing, but it's a similar issue in terms of MTA staff capacity and the flow of the work. So is there going to be regular reporting to the TA?
Yes, thank you for that. And I'll say that we're really hoping to get SFMTA back on track in terms of delivering on the improvements in time. And I can also invite Project Manager Damon Curtis to speak more about the reporting going forward.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Curtis.
Good morning, Commissioner. Damon Curtis, Traffic Calming Program Manager at SFMTA. I take all of your comments to heart. I wholeheartedly agree that we need to devote more resources to this program and to traffic calming in general. And I am working as hard as I can with our executive team and our project delivery partners at Public Works to make that happen. In terms of your question, we will be providing updates to the TA staff on a monthly basis, and we'll be coming back with a formal presentation before we ask for allocation of the construction phase funds. So I think that, in addition to sharing with you all the monthly updates and monthly reports, as well as that later presentation, sort of covers the concerns that you have about further or future updates.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Curtis. Ms. LaFleur.
Good morning, Chair Melgar and board members. Anna LaFort, Deputy Director for Policy and Programming. Thank you for your question. Just to clarify, today the action is to allocate funds for both the walk audits as well as construction. The construction funds will be placed on reserve pending a presentation, which we anticipate would be next summer when all of the walk audits are complete and all of the treatments have been identified to be implemented with the construction phase funds. That said, we can invite MTA to speak to the board at any time to provide an update, but at a minimum, it would be next summer and as the board wishes.
That would be great, Ms. LaFort, because, you know, the walk audits are one thing, and then the issue has been the timeliness of the projects, and I understand part of it has to do with DPW, but that's also a relationship that needs to be figured out in terms of the delivery of the project. So I for one, would appreciate, like, knowing how it's going once the funds have been released for the construction phase and that things are happening on time. That would be really great. Okay. I don't see anyone else on the roster. Thank you, Mr. Curtis.
Thank you.
Let's go to public comment on this item, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 4, Prop L grouped allocations? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to approve this item, please? Fielder, seconded by Sauter. Okay. We have to call the roll because Commissioner Chan has joined us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Chin? Chin, aye. Commissioner Fielder? Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood? Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman? Mandelman, absent. Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Commissioner Sherrill?
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 8 ayes. The motion is approved.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. Please go to item number 5.
Item 5, adopt the eco-friendly downtown delivery study final report. This is an action item.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Long.
Hi. Good morning, Chair Melgar and commissioners. I'm David Long, Senior Transportation Planner, the Transportation Authority, and presenting the the eco-friendly downtown delivery study. I am sharing slides, SFGovTV. Okay. Go to the next slide. So today I'm going to present the project approach and then summarize findings and recommendations for each strategy that we considered within the eco-friendly downtown deliveries study. The purpose of the study was broadly to identify and prioritize strategies to support low and zero emissions deliveries, specifically in downtown San Francisco and with a focus on business-to-business deliveries, though the strategies could be applicable to other locations and contexts. We reviewed innovative programs from peer cities and then convened a working group of industry, neighborhood stakeholders, and environmental groups to consider the applicability of various strategies being pursued in peer cities in San Francisco. We also held a focus group with e-bike delivery workers to support this work. So we considered three strategies in this study, which you can see on this slide: an off-hours delivery program, a logistics micro-hub, and e-bike battery swapping lockers. And all of this work was funded by a grant from the Carbon Neutral Cities Alliance with matching funds from Proposition K. Next slide. Next slide. Thanks. So here are the list of folks included on our working group. You can see it's a mix of community benefits districts, merchant associations, individual businesses, and environmental groups. As I mentioned, we also convened that focus group of e-bike delivery workers specifically to discuss the potential battery swapping locker pilot. Next slide. But to get into it, the first strategy that we considered was an off-hours delivery program. The intention of a program like this is to shift deliveries to times when there is less traffic and more vacant curb. The strategy is being employed in New York City, where it's resulted in faster and more consistent delivery times, reduced congestion, reduced emissions, and reduced double parking. Our working group agreed that those benefits would likely happen in San Francisco were we to roll out a program like this, and it could advance shared city and business goals. But they did identify some key challenges, including coordination between shippers and receivers, potential noise complaints where businesses are located near residences, and critically, the additional staffing requirements that might be needed of businesses to receive deliveries outside of normal business hours. Alongside that, the working group suggested that incentives to businesses would likely be needed, financial incentives, that is, in order to participate due to those extra staffing costs. Our recommendation is that San Francisco move this forward and implement a pilot of an off-hours delivery program on a known congested corridor, such as within Chinatown, the Mission, or Inner Sunset, and to lead this work with outreach to merchants. In parallel, there ought to be a sort of broad data collection program to better understand when and where deliveries are happening and help us estimate the potential impacts of a citywide off-hours delivery program. Next slide. The second strategy we considered was a logistics micro-hub. So this is a location where goods are transloaded from large vehicles to smaller vehicles, such as cargo bikes, hand carts, or golf carts for final delivery. Examples of micro-hubs in Seattle, Toronto, and New York have found that micro-hubs enable more last-mile deliveries to be completed sustainably, and critically, that they can be cost-neutral or potentially even generate revenue. Our working group identified some challenges to micro-hubs here in San Francisco, including the fact that they're likely only useful for some business types, and that it might be challenging to identify suitable locations. Our recommendation is to move this work forward through a site suitability analysis in partnership with industry to identify locations where a micro-hub could be implemented, and also to identify infrastructure changes that are needed to support small delivery vehicles in the immediate environs of the micro-hub. Next slide. Our last strategy we looked at was an e-bike battery swapping locker. So these are public lockers where e-bike delivery workers can swap depleted batteries for fully charged ones. This is also being piloted in New York. They're finding it quite successful, and that it has allowed workers to complete more deliveries without running out of charge, and critically improved fire safety by reducing the need for at-home charging of e-bike batteries. Through our focus group with e-bike delivery workers, however, we heard that battery compatibility would likely be an issue in San Francisco because we have a fairly diverse delivery fleet, and critically, that participants were not willing to swap what they saw as sort of their battery for another one with an unknown use history. For those reasons, we are not recommending e-bike battery swapping lockers be prioritized in San Francisco at this time, but the strategy could be revisited in the future as our e-bike delivery fleet expands or converges on a common bike and battery type. And in the meantime, San Francisco should consider other forms of public micromobility charging infrastructure. Next slide. So though this effort focused on identifying and prioritizing pilot projects, several supportive recommendations emerged. The first is a finding that's echoed in several recent planning exercises led by peer agencies, and that's that planning for goods movement in San Francisco is fragmented across multiple agencies without a clear organizing forum. And complicating that reality is the finding which CAC Chair Siegel highlighted in her remarks, and that's the fact that San Francisco lacks quality and comprehensive data about goods movement in our city. We just really don't have a great sense of how and where deliveries are moving in our city. So we're recommending that relevant city agencies designate staff to collaborate on an urban freight team to develop public-private partnerships, conduct research, and implement some of the strategies in this report. Finally, the report acknowledges that technology is moving quickly in the goods movement space and that San Francisco should take steps to prepare our infrastructure for a more diverse delivery fleet. With that, I will conclude the presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Sauter.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I think it's very interesting, and I want us to... Ideally, I want us to try a few of these. I don't know that we need to just pick one. I think these are all interesting. For the off-hour delivery, as you looked at that, do you anticipate that being, I mean, that comes down to like curb management and timing and everything. Do you anticipate that would be an incentive program, a requirement? You noted New York City. How is it run there?
Yeah. Thanks for the question. So off-hours delivery pilots in peer cities typically have three sort of legs. One is curb regulations, like you mentioned. So there's a regulatory component. There's also an education and technical assistant component in a lot of peer programs that includes things like education for drivers about how to conduct deliveries by minimizing noise, and education for receivers about how to facilitate deliveries without staff members present. And then the last sort of leg is incentive programs. And what peer cities have found is that shippers are typically willing and eager to conduct deliveries during the off hours. There are real benefits to their operations and their ability to do a lot of deliveries quickly. But receivers tend to need incentives. So individual businesses take on extra staffing costs typically to receive those deliveries. So there's often an incentive program focused on those businesses.
And I could also just add one more thing, which is that those pilots have been opt-in for the participants. So the businesses and the shippers participating were not required to participate. They chose and opted into the pilot program.
Do you have, given that, do you have any sense of what the adoption rate was for any of these other pilots, like the New York City, for example? I mean, it seems like it's got to be meet a certain threshold. Otherwise, it doesn't really move the needle.
I'd need to look back at their pilot reports, but I'm happy to do that and share it with your office.
And then on the micro hub example, I think I've already communicated my interest in this right now, given how much underutilized space we have in city property, particularly garages, and a lot of those being kind of in the downtown areas, some of them being in District 3. I know that one aspect of that could be this transfer point from the larger vehicles to the smaller vehicles, and you would need a key partner in that, something like a UPS. I know you spoke with them, and I know they've done a similar pilot for e-bike deliveries in New York, in Portland, in Seattle. Do you know how those have gone? Are they excited or interested in expanding that pilot to a place like San Francisco?
Yeah. So generally, the report outs from these pilots in our peer cities have been really positive. One of the first steps that we'd like to take in implementing our micro hubs pilot here in San Francisco is to issue likely a sort of request for interest or request for expression of interest, which would allow us to sort of engage in really focused dialogue with industry partners about their interest and what sort of features would be most helpful in a micro hub and how we can best design it to make sure it really does work for everybody and advance city and business goals.
Okay. And lastly, can you just share a little bit more about next steps? I think, you know, I heard from with the CAC kind of a interest in more action-oriented focus, which I share. You know, there's just an idea of establishing an urban freight team. What do you think that looks like? What should we expect in the next few months from this work?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I guess I'd invite Rachel Hyatt from my deputy director to speak to sort of what the interagency relations might look like there. But broadly, it would mean designating staff at sort of three key contributing agencies, SFMTA, our agency, and the San Francisco Department of the Environment, to collaborate on implementing the recommendations from this plan, and sort of setting up a clear organizing forum and roles and responsibilities to do so. Rachel, is there more you'd like to add to that?
Yes, I would add that next steps is to seek funding to pilot any of these, one or more of these ideas, right? And there's a number of potential grant sources that we've identified in the report. And you know, one of them is, for example, Prop L has some eligible categories that could provide matching funds to an external grant, say from MTC, had last year a call for projects for a climate program that could have supported a pilot like this. So that's the sort of funding we're looking for. We would bring that scope and schedule and approach, you know, to this board, assuming that this, you know, board would take an action related to that. And what I heard from the CAC, and certainly following in the sort of approach set up by the working group, is that there should be a community and industry forum, an advisory forum that would advise us throughout the pilot itself. You know, after a pilot has been funded and set up, to continuously advise us.
Okay, good. Well, I look forward to hearing more. I know that this is focused on B2B. I think there is a tremendous amount of work we need to do on this, but also, and I know it's separate from this, but everything related to the more individual deliveries, thinking about platforms like DoorDash. There's been an incredible amount of new technology unleashed on our streets, and I think our tools and our response is slow and rudimentary. So let's do this. Let's see what works, and let's keep at it. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Mahmood.
Thank you. I had a kind of slightly adjacent question, but appreciate the context on looking into how to support e-bikes in this delivery framework. One of the unintended consequences we've seen in my district has been that one of the primary causes of fires in buildings in San Francisco, and particularly in the Tenderloin, are due to lithium-ion batteries. You talked about an e-bike battery swap program, which appreciate that component of discussion. Were there any other discussions as part of this analysis and study about the negative unintended consequences of proliferation of either e-bikes or e-scooters in the delivery framework, to maybe from an education perspective, to help ensure that people are using appropriate batteries and that general consequence?
Yeah, thanks for that question. For this body of work and our report, the e-bike battery swapping lockers was the key strategy that had potential to address the risks of home charging of poor quality or sort of off-market e-bike batteries. Our colleagues at the San Francisco Department of the Environment have a fairly active work stream around e-bike incentive programs and supporting e-bike delivery workers in sort of a variety of ways. So I'd happy to sort of talk with them and come back to your office with more information about other efforts that might be ongoing in the sort of education space. Broadly, I think that answer speaks to one of the needs highlighted in the report, which is to have sort of a clear organizing forum and a team that is working on these things in a collected way.
Okay, thank you. I had a couple questions as well. So I was interested in your presentation. You said that there had been a focus group with delivery drivers. I was wondering what that looked like.
Yeah, thanks. So that was a focus group with e-bike delivery workers specifically. So it was, I think we did have one delivery driver who used a traditional car, but it was intended to be mostly for e-bike delivery workers. It was offered in language, so Spanish and English, and the intent was to talk to those folks specifically about their interest in and thoughts about the e-bike battery swapping locker concept.
So it was specific to that one idea about e-bike swapping.
That's correct.
Thank you. You know, I support this. I think it's great to have a pilot program. I feel like that's not nearly enough for the need because we have seen a vast increase in this that is kind of unregulated. So my colleague, Commissioner Walton, has an interest in specifically scooters and micromobility devices and sidewalks. I have observed increase, much more than I would like, of delivery vehicles on sidewalks as well. Folks who are trying to make a living, but you know, when there's no rules, there's always, you know, I mean, there are rules, it's just not enforced. There's always an opening. And it's always more difficult to undo behavior, but people get used to, than to regulate it well from the get-go. And so I do think that this is a fast-growing industry. Having deliveries done on e-bikes does meet our climate action goals and takes pressure off of car traffic and all of those things, right? So it feels to me like we should be paying more attention to the workforce needs of this population, the need for timeliness and the economics of it. And so I wondered if, you know, in the future we can sort of gather more information from this population, not just on a specific tool, but like overall, right? Hours, you know, needs. I know that in my district, folks concentrate and congregate sort of more informally in places because it works for them. So 9th Avenue, you know, between the park and Irving is a, you know, like popular spot because, you know, there's a bathroom nearby. They can get something to eat. They can talk to each other. If it's not a battery swapping place, a place to plug in might be, you know, what they need. I don't know, but they need something. And I'm wondering how we can support, you know, and regulate at the same time the growth of this industry, because it does support our other goals, and at the same time gather information, because we don't really know. This is a largely immigrant male workforce. And there are language issues, but there's also cultural issues and real economic issues that I think need to be considered in all of this. So I look forward to more beyond the pilot implementation, just sort of like having a concentration effort on focusing in on where this is going.
Thank you, Chair. Really appreciate that recommendation for the methodology going forward. One of the other things we did in the report is look at best practices, emerging best practices for street design and, you know, right-of-way design with these new types of vehicles, because they don't fit clearly into the framework for, you know, the street design and space design for vehicles of this type. David, do you want to mention, you know, one example of our findings from that?
Sure. In terms of sort of street redesign needs of this sort of emerging industry and population, things like wider bike lanes to fit bikes with larger form factors, adjusting the expectations for turning radii at bikes at intersections are some of the things that are being considered and built into design standards. Elsewhere, New York City recently pursued some changes to their vehicle code, which created a new classification for electric quad bikes, basically.
That's
which, I mean, it looks kind of like a golf cart,
yeah,
but it's a vehicle that was not legally allowed on their streets previously, and is something that this, you know, industry and workforce may be trending towards.
Okay, thank you so much. Thanks for the presentation and the discussion. Madam Clerk, let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 5, eco-friendly downtown delivery study? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment on this item is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to approve this item, please? Motion by Sauter, seconded by Chen. I think we can do the same house, same call. Yes, same house, same call. The motion's approved. Madam Clerk, let's go to item number 6, please.
Item 6, approve a 2-year professional services contract with WSP USA Inc. in an amount not to exceed $3,800,000 for construction management services for the Yerba Buena Island Treasure Island Road Improvements Project. This is an action item.
Okay, I have Carl Holmes as doing the presentation, but I don't see him here.
Yes, good morning, Chair Milgar. Can you hear me?
Hi, Carl.
Yes. Good morning, Chair Milgar, Vice Chair Sauter, Commissioners, Carl Holmes, Deputy Director, Capital Projects. Apologies for not being in person at the chamber, but I'm serving on a 6-person panel reviewing over 60 projects and studies with the American Council of Engineering Companies, and this is the California chapter. SFCTA is a contender for one of our studies, so this allows me to recuse myself while one of our projects is being reviewed. So with that, I will share slides and go into so this item is for construction management services for the multi-use path segment 4. And into there we go. So I'd like to focus the board on this exhibit, which you've seen many times. However, the focus is on the far left, which is the multi-use path segment 4. We are accelerating the design of this project. We should have it completed by the spring of 2026. Thereupon, we would advertise for construction contractor bids and start construction in the summer of 2026, completing end of 2027. Why are we doing this now? We need a construction management team to help us put together the design documents and transform them into a bid package so that we could seek construction contractor bids. This is a zoomed-in version. You heard about this scope from Aaron earlier today on the Prop L item, but if you look at the bottom left of this exhibit, you'll see the 16-foot-wide Class 1 protected bicycle and pedestrian facility. The left of that insert shows the retaining wall, which is needed to cut into the hillside to provide space for that Class 1 bicycle facility. And then also you see a bus, which would be a transit-only lane to allow for reliable bus service for the upcoming congestion on the island. This slide shows the funding plan, and you'll see the Prop L item that Aaron mentioned earlier today. There are three other items, cost items on here that relate to a Caltrans grant that you heard later this morning. And so it's the ITIP, the Housing Incentive Pool, and LPP items that are on here that sum up to just under $9 million. The total value of this project is $38 million. The value of this construction management service contract is $3.8 million, so it's 10% of the overall value. The procurement process, we issued bids or issued an RFP, request for proposal, in late August. We received proposals in late September. We interviewed the top three out of the four proposals we received. The highest ranking firm is WSP. And with that. Actually, one more thing with regards to the panel, evaluation panel, it consisted of two TA staff, one public works staffer, and a representative from TIDA. And so with that, I conclude with requesting approval for the two-year professional services contract for $3.8 million for the Treasure Island Road Improvement Project. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, Chair Mulgar.
Thank you so much, Mr. Holmes, and thank you for representing us and also giving the presentation. I don't see any questions or comments from my colleagues, so let's go to public comment on this item, please.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 6, YBI Treasure Island Road Improvements Contract? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to approve the assignment? Motion by Cheryl, second by Chen. And we can do this same house, same call. Thank you so much. Madam Clerk, let's go to item number 6, please. I'm sorry, item 7.
Item 7, authorize the Executive Director to execute master agreements, program supplemental agreements, cooperative agreements, fund transfer agreements, and any amendments thereto with the California Department of Transportation for receipt of federal and state funds for the Yerba Buena Island Treasure Island Road Improvement Project Multi-Use Pathway Segment 4 in an amount not to in an amount up to $8,985,000, and state funds for planning, programming, and monitoring in the amount of $380,000. This is an action item.
Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Fong.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Cynthia Fong, Deputy Director for Finance and Administration. What I have before you today is a reoccurring administrative item for the receipt of 4 Caltrans grants. As the clerk has mentioned, we are receiving 3 grants for a total of $8.9 million for the Yerba Buena Island Multi-Use Path Segment 4 project. The funds will be utilized to bring the existing roadway to modern safety standards, to add a dedicated transit lane for access to the westbound Bay Bridge, and to extend a multi-use bicycle and pedestrian pathway. We anticipate to receive the grants in early 2026, and we anticipate the construction would be completed in November 2027. Any procurement contracts for these grants would come before this board for approval if within our procurement guidelines. The fourth grant is a grant that you occasionally see received by our agency. It's for the Caltrans Transportation Planning, Programming, and Monitoring project. This is an amount of $380,000. In terms of fiscal impact, we have already included the Transportation Programming and Planning and Monitoring grant and in our budget, but we will also include the 3 Yerba Buena Island grants in our mid-year budget amendment once we have executed all contracts. As a reminder, this is an action item. This is allowing the Executive Director to enter all related grant agreements to execute and to receive these grants. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to take any questions you may have. Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any questions or comments from my colleagues on the roster. Let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 7, Caltrans grant agreements? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, may I have a motion and a second to approve this item? Motion by Cheryl, seconded by Mandelman. And we do have to take the roll as we've been joined by Commissioner Mandelman.
On the motion to approve item 7, Commissioner Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. Commissioner Chin.
Aye.
Chin, aye. Commissioner Fielder. Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood. Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Mulgar.
Aye.
Mulgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter. Sauter, aye. Commissioner Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Commissioner Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 9 ayes. The motion is approved.
Thank you. Let's go to the next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item 8, introduction of new items. This is an information item.
Okay, I do not see anyone on the roster with items to introduce. So let's go to the next item, please.
Item 9, public comment. Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 9? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for a remote public comment. Hi, caller. Your 2 minutes begins now. Hi, caller. Your 2 minutes begins now.
The humble consequence of carbon, the fleeting spray of life turned dust by the automobile, forever suspended in the instant indifference to the gods. We do not envy their power. We do not plead their pardon. We curse, we spit, and we shout our name. We are the arcs of humanity. This past week, we lost the mayor of 16th Street. He lost it to the automobile. Automobile is to be banned. AVs are to be banned in our city. We entrust in one. Supervisor Fielder, you may appoint a new mayor of 16th Street. You may go down to 201 Alabama. You may choose. There's a lot to choose from, but you can choose whichever one you wish. RIP Kit Kat.
There is no additional public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 10, adjournment.
Okay, we're adjourned.